Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor. It's been my joy to share with you the last few days some thoughts on Christmas. We were looking at the Lord Jesus Christ leaving his home and coming to our home. Yes, he was in the wrong place for Christmas as far as what others would think. But he wasn't, because he came to live where we live and to give us the opportunity one day to live where he lives in heaven. And when we begin to understand what that really means, we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And when that happens, that means that God begins to take care of our needs. In fact, that's what the Lord's Prayer says. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, whatever my needs are, I pray that you will give those needs to me. And many times he does it on a daily basis. Why? Because we're heirs of God. And what a joy it is when your children and grandchildren truly begin to understand that when we are heirs with God, we can pray to our Heavenly Father for whatever needs we have. And it could be that this Christmas season, your budget is really tight. Your finances are really low. And it could be that God is wanting to teach you and your family how to really pray. Howard Hendricks tells the story that when his children came along, he and his wife began a procedure that he would recommend to any parent. He said, "We took a little loose-leaf notebook and wrote on one side of the page, 'We ask,' and on the other side of the page, 'He answers.'" And Dr. Hendricks said he wouldn't trade anything for that little book because it's enabled him to teach his children about prayer and how that they began to learn that a prayer notebook could be just a real encouragement to see their Heavenly Father meet those special needs. In fact, he told the story about a family in their community that also used a prayer notebook. And the dad felt like God was calling him into full-time Christian service. So he sold his business at a loss and entered into this full-time Christian service ministry that God had called him to. But instead of things going well, it really got rough financially. In fact, one night at family devotions, the youngest of four boys, a young fellow by the name of Timmy, said, "Daddy, do you think Jesus would mind if I ask him for a shirt?" Well, the dad said, "Well, of course not, son." So they wrote in their little prayer request book, "Shirt for Timmy." And mom added, "Size 7. You can be sure that every night Timmy saw to it that they prayed for the shirt. And for weeks they prayed for it. Every night. One day the mother received a telephone call from a Christian businessman, a clothier in downtown Dallas, and he said, "I've just completed our July clearance sale, and knowing that you've got four boys, it occurred to me that I might have something that you could use. Can you use any boys' shirts?" Mother said, "Well, what size?" "Size 7. "Well, how many do you have?" "I have 12 of them." Now, what would you do? Some parents probably would have taken the shirts and stuffed them in a drawer somewhere and maybe just kind of brought one or two out every once in a while. But that night, as expected, little Timmy said, now, Mom, don't forget, let's pray for the shirt." And his mother responded, "We don't have to pray for the shirt, Timmy. The Lord answered your prayer." "Really? Really?" And as previously arranged, his brother Tommy goes out and gets a shirt and brings it in and puts it on the table. Timmy's eyes are like saucers. Tommy goes out and gets another shirt and brings it in, and out and back and out and back until he's piled 12 shirts on the table. And Timmy thinks God has gone into the shirt business. And there's a boy today by the name of Timmy who still believes that God is in heaven. And he's interested enough in a little boy's needs to provide a shirt. And I guess my question is, do your children know that? Do they know that every good and every perfect gift comes from God? And do they know what it means to pray? do you pray with your children? And do you share with your children that whatever we need, God can meet that need? And sometimes Dr. Hendricks went on to say that they had to write in their little prayer journal, no, in the answer column. No. You know, sometimes that's the way God answers too. Sometimes God answers no. But guess what? He wants us to trust Him when the answer is no. And as we are teaching our children how to pray, it may be the greatest lesson that they can ever learn. Yes, it's Christmas, and yes, you'd love to be able to give them some fantastic gifts, but it could be that God has a greater gift for them than a gift that they can unwrap under the tree. It's the gift of learning to trust God through prayer. I'll never forget sending our oldest son off for his first year of college. We were struggling, and we were trying to pay the college bill every month as it came due, and it was tough. We did everything we possibly could. Our son was working a job while he was going to college, and there was a time that he needed $25, and he thought, well, I need to call Dad and tell him I've got to have $25, and then he thought, you know, Dad doesn't have $25, and all he's going to do is just say, well, son, I'll have to pray for it. And then a novel thought came to his mind. I wonder if God would answer my prayer as a freshman in college. And so he got on his knees, and he said, Lord, my dad would be praying for this $25 right now, but I want to learn to trust you myself. Lord, would you provide for my need of $25? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to wait for it because you know, Lord, it's a need and it's a legitimate need. Thank you for hearing my prayer. He got up from beside his bed in his dorm room, began to walk, the long walk, to the dining hall. On his way to the dining hall, he passed the post office box there on campus, and he thought, well, let me just run in and check my post office box. And lo and behold, there was a letter in the post office box. He opened it up, and it was a letter from some folks who stood up with us when we got married 20 years prior. And they said, Stephen, we hear you're in college. We're excited to know that you're training to serve the Lord. Just want to let you know that we're praying for you. Oh, here's a check. Just kind of maybe meet a little need that you might have. Yeah, you're ahead of me. You know how much the check was for. $25. He immediately got on the phone and called us and said, Dad, God answers my prayers just like He answers yours. We had always taught our kids that when you get a gift, you send a thank you note. In fact, if you don't send a thank you note, you give the gift back. So that evening, Stephen sat down and wrote a thank you note to this family, thanking them for the gift of $25. And then he told them the story of how God had taught him to pray for his own needs himself. It wasn't long thereafter that he got another letter from this same family who said, Stephen, you'll never know what your short thank you note meant to us. When we began to understand what it meant to be a part of God answering your prayer. And by the way, here's another gift of $25. Well, it would be very easy for Stephen to have written back and sent a thank you note again and kind of expecting maybe another $25 check. But no, he wrote another letter and he said, thank you so much. I'm writing this letter to thank you, but I don't want you to feel like you need to continue to send me $25 checks. You have been used by God to teach me what it means to be an heir of God. You know, that may be the greatest lesson and the greatest gift that your children or your grandchildren could learn this Christmas season. The lesson to learn to pray. And as heirs of God, God will meet our needs. The Bible says that Jesus denied himself and became a man. He left his home in heaven for Christmas so that we one day could go to his home in heaven and find an eternal home. and what a ministry God has given us to help other people understand that message of salvation. And what a joy it is to be able to see others accepting Christ as their personal Savior and others receiving that wonderful message of love. That's what the gospel is. It's proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ many times through acts of mercy to needy people. You know, Christmas time is a very needy time. It says in Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. It was the proof that the message of the gospel truly was real. And there ought to be the same thing in your life. People ought to be able to see in your life that indeed the gospel is real, especially during the Christmas season. And there ought to be something about your experience with the Lord that when people see your joy and your excitement, they begin to understand you care about them. You have reached out to them because Jesus reached out to you. On April 14, 1912, the Titanic struck an iceberg in the North Atlantic, began taking on water. By the time the lifeboats were deployed, it was clear that the ship was sinking, and passengers were loaded into these lifeboats and lowered into the icy waters. Of the 20 lifeboats lowered into the water, most had room for more people. Despite the cries for help, those in the lifeboats were afraid to return to the drowning people, lest the boats be swamped with people. And so, resisting the cries for help, the people in the boats rowed away from hundreds of people floating in the water and eventually drowning. But in Lifeboat 14, 5th Officer Harold Lowe thought differently and he acted differently. He transferred many of his passengers to other lifeboats and returned to the sinking ship to pick up more survivors. And though he could not save them all, he could save a precious few from death in the icy sea. And the survivors rescued survivors. Lifeboat 14, reaching out for others after we ourselves have been saved. And that's exactly what our lives should be this Christmas. Reaching out to others because we have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been lifted out of the drowning waves and put into the lifeboat called Jesus Christ. Instead of rowing away and living your life for yourself, why don't you row back to those who are drowning in sin as well and help rescue them during this Christmas season? Help bring them to the Christ of the manger and make him the Christ of the cross and the resurrected Christ and the one who now is in heaven interceding for them. Make Christmas a life-changing experience. Until next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.